With society's endless expectations upon you and mental health and anxiety issues on the rise, finding your true authentic self can be challenging. Being your true self is a key and never a mistake because you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically. Join Dr. Kim R. Grimes as she creates a safe space and initiates influential conversations about you being you. Listen to discussions featuring step-by-step guides, techniques, and principles that you can sink your teeth into about uncovering your greatness, triggering a mindset shift, and living beyond your limiting beliefs. The time to connect with who you were created to be and fall madly in love with you starts now. Here's your host, Dr. Kim R. Grimes.
Welcome back. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to You Are You, Unapologetically, the podcast where we lean into our truth, we break down walls, and we live life boldly and fully as ourselves. So, if this is your first time with us, thank you. Welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Kim R. Grimes. And today, we're digging into a deep question. Not only is it deep, it's powerful. You ready for it? Is your comfort zone holding you back? Is it holding you back? Now, let's get real for a second. Your comfort zone, it sounds like, well, comfortable, right? It's predictable. It's safe. It's that space in your life where you know what to expect and you don't feel challenged or afraid. Come on. You know that place. Stop playing. Your comfort zone. We all have one, and some of us have multiple. But here's the thing about your comfort zone, about my comfort zone. Here's the thing about all of our comfort zones. Growth never happens. Let me say that again so that you're clear. In the comfort zone, in your comfort zone, in my comfort zone, our comfort zone, growth never happened. That is why we are here today. Because today we're going to talk about what is the comfort zone? What is it really? Why it feels so hard, right, to leave it? What staying in it is actually costing you? And how you can start stepping out of your comfort zone in a way that feels authentic to you. Oh, this episode isn't about shaming you into action, not at all. It's not about judging you either. It's about showing you that when you are unapologetically you, it includes taking risks, trying new things, and yes, sometimes doing the scary stuff. Do it afraid. Even when your voice shakes. That's it. So, why is this so important? Our comfort zone. It matters so much because comfort zones, they're sneaky. They show up as habits that feel safe, staying in a job that doesn't inspire you, avoiding tough conversations, not launching the business that you've been dreaming about, not applying for opportunities that present itself. Staying in your comfort zone feels safe. It's familiar to you. You know exactly what to expect. But what's often invisible is the cost of staying in your comfort zone. the cost of staying there. And before we know it, we've become spectators in our own lives. We're just watching our lives, our life, my life, your life, our lives pass us by. The magic is in life, happens just outside of what is familiar to you. That's when life happens. It happens outside of your comfort zone. So today, I'm going to not only be the only one sharing some wonderful insight, we have a fabulous, fabulous guest who's going to give us some amazing insight as well. So how about we go ahead and introduce our guest? Here goes. Okay, everyone. Oh, my goodness. Here's where we are. We're in this part of our podcast where I get to introduce you to my guest. Just wait. Just wait. Here we go. So today, I'm joined by a phenomenal guest, an amazing relationship coach who is going to share his insights on human behavior. I can't wait. Okay, so here goes. So our guest today is a seasoned relationship coach with over 25 years of experience. I said 25 years of experience specializing in self-awareness, emotional intelligence, and the Enneagram. He's going to tell you more about that. Just wait. His unconventional journey from ministry to coaching has given him unique insights into human behavior, which he uses to help individuals and couples achieve lasting transformation. After a life-changing sabbatical and a devastating wildfire, our guest relocated to Portugal, where he now thrives as an emotional intelligence coach. Give it up, right? Okay, wait, I'm not done. So today, he continues to guide clients towards profound personal and relational growth, drawing on his extensive experience and deep commitment to helping others. Our guest is oh my goodness, someone that I can't wait for to bring him on because of what he does. So do me this favor, you guys. Please help me to welcome Todd Payne to Yay You. Welcome, 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 Todd. Welcome, 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 welcome.
Thank you so much. Wow, thank you for that enthusiastic introduction. I can't help but feel good after hearing you describe me in those ways. Thank you so much to have me and for being here. It's a real honor. It's a real pleasure. Yes.
And thank you for being committed to helping others transform, right? That's important. You are definitely a champion, and our listeners will know and hear that how much you are a champion in self-awareness, emotional intelligence, and you're going to tell us a little bit more about that Enneagram, right?
Again, that's right.
Thank you for being here. I know your plate is full. Your schedule is busy. And so I'm honored and grateful. With that, I usually ask my guests how we met, to share how we met. And so since this is literally our first time meeting each other, please share how we got connected. Please.
Absolutely. Well, it turns out we have a mutual friend. And when this person found out that both of us have been through a life with setbacks, with challenges, with struggles, but found ways to be grateful, to persevere, and to grow and discover what we're really capable of, I think it was natural that she brought the two of us together and said, hey, listen, you guys need to have a conversation because you're on the same page about a lot of stuff. And I think it'd be really dynamic conversation. So that's how we came to connect this evening.
Awesome. 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 So we all know that you're here to share with us about our topic. Is your comfort zone holding you back? Right?
Mm-hmm.
How to get out of your comfort zone. Let's jump into this juicy discussion.
Yes.
Let's do this. All right. So Let me just do this first. Let me just ask you this, and then we're just going to take it off from there. Share with our listeners how you define the comfort zone in the context of self-awareness and personal growth.
Wow, that's a great question and not a small one, is it? I think the comfort zone is an elusive thing to define because it's not fixed. As we grow, we expand. But then as we gain those new talents, new skills, new experiences, as they become more comfortable, then our sort of comfort zone shifts. So I guess you could say it's sort of the edge of newness. My wife and I were both ministers for many years, and she used to say, if you feel like something is just out of reach, you might be able to do it, but you don't really want to do it, probably the Holy Spirit. And I think there's something about the comfort zone idea that it's like it's not way out there. Let's win a gold medal at the Olympics. It's just right beyond what we've already kind of mastered, and it's uncomfortable. It's that's way that if it isn't uncomfortable, then you're not outside of your comfort zone, right?
Yes. And it's something that in my concept or my thought is something that the comfort zone, like you said, I'm comfortable here. And when I'm outside of it, is exactly that. I'm uncomfortable. Or either I'm afraid to go out there or get out of my comfort zone. So tell me, why do you think it is hard, so hard for people to leave their comfort zone? And I get it because there was a time when I didn't want to. And what is it that you may feel or what would you say is holding them back?
I think there's probably two things that hold people back, 90% of the time or more. And those are fear and pain. Pretty simple stuff. I mean, it's deep. It's complicated. But in the end, it's actually quite simple. What keeps us where we are is fear that change means things are going to be worse. That's sort of a false belief because the only way things can get better is also through change. So sometimes things get worse, sometimes things get better, but when we believe it's inevitably going to be worse, that holds us back. And as we discussed, like the very name of the thing is comfort, right? So I like to say, I love having gone to the gym. I don't like going to the gym, but I love having gone to the gym.
I get that. Because when just on that concept of working out, right? I don't feel like going. I don't want to go. But once it's done, I'm like,
yeah. But. Yeah. And that's what being outside of your comfort zone is like. Like, no one sort of wants to. There's never a good time for pain, there's never a good time for difficulty. But without those things, there isn't that growth, that forward movement.
So, we all have comfort zones, right? And I would say that I have multiple. Like, it's not just, right? I could probably find a closet or corner. So share with me a personal moment or with our listeners as well, when you stepped out of your comfort zone and what came of it? What was the result of you stepping out of your comfort zone?
Well, let me share sort of two related stories where I stepped out of my comfort zone really quickly in succession. The first was not a choice. The first was thrust upon me. I lost my home in a wildfire along with 1,000 other homes back in December of 2021 in Colorado.
Wow.
I was out of my comfort zone. We didn't own anything. We were living in my brother's basement. This is my family, my dogs. And, you know, it was sort of, what are we going to do with ourselves? A lot of people got angry. A lot of the people who lost their homes tried to immediately, how do we get back to where we were the day before the fire? My wife and I, we're of like mind, which is wonderful. But we said, well, maybe this means it's time for something new. Maybe this doesn't mean, how do we go back? How do we go forward? And that was sort of our response to being pushed out of our comfort zone. So the next thing that we did was we moved to Europe, and that was an enormous step outside of our comfort zone. New language, new systems, new culture, etc. But that one, of course, we chose. And in both instances, we really were able to kind of fall forward, if you know what I mean. Like there was mistakes and there was missteps, but all of it kind of kept us into a new, and we just were sitting on our porch, you know, overlooking the city the other day and saying to one another how much our lives are better here. And so there is no, like, what you have may be good, but there may be better. And often what we have isn't good, but we're still afraid to go outside of our comfort zone, even if we're not getting our needs met, even if we're not feeling loved or fulfilled or whatever. Outside of the comfort zone is where good things lay. So,
and it sounds like two things that popped as you were speaking was when you spoke about people getting angry, like that is something that we do, like get mad. And instead of, so I can, you know, I can relate to that because my listeners know that at a young age for me, you know, I was a widow and that's what I did. Like after that traumatic incident, I got angry.
And
it's a part of what we, you know, our human nature, you know, so I was able to relate to that when you said that. The other thing that I heard is as we're in this space, whether it's good for us, we, you know, or not, like, if, especially if it's not, we tend to want to stay in it. And so in my mind made me think of being stuck in it, right? So what practical steps can you suggest to someone who know they're stuck, right? But they feel like overwhelmed or they're afraid of change or they just feel, you know, frozen in place.
Yeah.
Share some practical, you know, steps. I know you have some.
I do. What I have found is that the best way to think about our comfort zone, if we really want to kind of attack it, break it apart, and not let it cage us the way that it can, is to think about it in terms of patterns. The brain loves patterns. It loves to do the same thing over and over again. In fact, it loves to automate these things. If you've ever driven home from work and pulled into the driveway and not really remembered driving home from work, that's because you've done it so much that your brain just automates it. So what we have to do, practically speaking, to break out of our comfort zone is the first thing we have to do is learn to see the bars that are caging us in. Yeah. Often we don't even see the bars.
Yeah.
And that is where the Enneagram that you mentioned in my introduction comes in. The Enneagram is an ancient system of personality that is not about the way you behave on the outside. It's not about your external things you say or do. It's about the internal narrative that we all have running all day long about who we should be and what other people owe us and what we're supposed to do and the way the world ought to be. And it helps us to spot these patterns of thought, patterns of feeling. Every time this happens, I feel this way. And when I feel this way, I react that way. Patterns of action. When we can recognize our patterns, that is when we can see the bars that are holding us. And then we can start to take the steps necessary to change those patterns.
I love the idea of, and the concept, the bars, like the metaphor, like you use of the bars to help you really see patterns. But first you have to see the bars that's keeping you in that space. And I never thought of, you know, like bars, because my thing is, I'm not doing anything that's going require me to go to jail because I don't want to go to jail because of the bars, right? But as you said that, right, I was able to visually, I mean, you know, see it. Imagine that, like the bars that are there and how you tied it into to recognizing the patterns, because that's how our mind, you know, how we think all the time. So that is so, so helpful.
Good.
So tell me this, when it comes to someone being able to recognize these patterns and which I want to put a little spin on it to say, because these patterns, I see it as once I recognize these patterns or I recognize these bars and it's to help me, I see it as self-awareness, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so how 100%. Does developing these self-awareness patterns or can help someone else move beyond their limits? Like now I see you. Yeah. See the bar. right?
Great.
And now I'm, like I said, I'm frozen. I'm like, okay,
right.
So what do I do?
It's a scary moment in the process when we see the bars, because when we first actually, I don't know if you remember those kind of crazy 3D images that look like random print, but then your eyes unfocus and then they appear. There's a moment like that with my clients, and it's often actually scary, because when you see the bars, you go, is there any way out of this? Now I just know how trapped I am. But there is. And the way forward in the Enneagram is that the first thing we remember is that all of our personality characteristics, all of our personality traits are value neutral. Sometimes they serve us very well. Sometimes they get us in trouble. It's the same traits. So what we want to learn to do to let the bars, and I won't say break them, but I'll say melt them or soften them, turn them into something that becomes part of us that we can use, is to learn how to recognize when one of the patterns is coming, and then we learn how to counterbalance. So let me tell a little story as an example.
Please.
Once my wife came home from work and said to me that her boss had yelled at her. She had an awful day. Her boss had yelled at her. Now, I'm a very heady kind of a guy. And my response was, well, did you fill out a form for HR so that they know that your boss yelled at you? What I should have said was, would you like a hug? Can I pour you a glass of wine? Tell me what's going on. So what I have learned to do over the years is recognize when my brain kicks into overdrive, problem-solving mode, analysis, breaking things apart, we're going to figure this out. I learn what it feels like in my body when that happens. And when I catch myself with that feeling, I stop and I go, all right, what might be another way to respond in this situation that is more appropriate to the needs of the situation? So I sort of have a knee-jerk reaction, and I learn how to counterbalance, to lean in the other direction and bring myself to a more centered place in order to respond, genuinely and meaningfully.
Yeah. And what popped in my head as you said that was put yourself in the other person's shoes. Right.
Yeah, empathy.
And give some, some empathy. And yeah. I get you. I understand what you're saying, Todd, because my response would have been your response. Right. Like, wait, like, okay, what are we going to do about this?
How are we going to fight this? Yeah.
Right. And so, but by having put myself in that position, or myself, in their shoes, and allowing myself to how can I support that person in that space that they're in right now? And then later we can discuss, but and what I'm thinking is, how do I meet them right there where they are? And that's something that is big for me. I want to meet you where you are, like right now, and not drag you along or push you forward. Right.
Right.
So,
right.
And that's what I, that's what
I heard. You have touched on the key concept. Now we've talked about comfort zones. We've talked about growth. Yeah. But in truth, empathy is the anchor of all that. Empathy may be the second most powerful transformational force in the world. Yeah. When we experience it, we are changed.
Come on, Todd. Alan.
So I think all of that is to say, one of the things that the Enneagram does, and one of the ways I use it uniquely with couples instead of just with individuals,
yeah,
is by giving you a sneak peek behind the curtain of your partner's world. How do they see the world? How do they process? What is their inner dialogue? What are their natural reactions and responses? And when we understand where our partners are coming from, why they are the way they are, there's this natural outflowing of empathy, this blossoming of empathy between people. And that enables personal transformation on both partners' parts, but also the transformation of the relationship.
Awesome. No, that Enneagram, sounds amazing. But the thought of getting a peek behind the curtain, not only in my life, but in, my husband's life, that's spectacular. Like, I would say yes to that all day long, because what I recognize is that, we are unique, differently, different human beings. And so do not think the same.
No
ifs, ands, buts about it. But also, I think, too, what I hear is recognizing their comfort zone, also as you're recognizing your own comfort zone. Like, that's that's what popped in my head as well as you were sharing that. And I would like, And what I'm saying is that to be able to stop and pay attention in that, or be present in that space where I'm recognizing their comfort zone, just like when your wife came home and said what she said, that wasn't comfortable to her. She didn't appreciate that at all. And from what I'm hearing, what I got is that you took my route, but what you also said is that what you should have done is recognize, you know, that comfort zone that she, you know, was in, that pushed her out of that comfort zone, and been able to meet her needs at that point.
I'll throw another word out here too. Okay. When we're talking about relationships in particular, there's another zone, and that is the zone of safety. Because being vulnerable with your partner, criticizing them in a way you think might hurt them, hearing criticisms of you, or naming some of the issues that you know are there, but don't really want to name because then they become somehow more real. All of that requires safety between us. Yeah. And one of the things that comfort zones can do is erode safety zones. After years of being in a relationship, we start using shorthand. We make a lot of assumptions. And shorthand and assumptions can really make the safety zone very small and dangerous and treacherous. We really have to kind of recognize there's more going on here than just comfort, because before we can be comfortable, we have to feel safe.
Yes. And it's so on point. You said a safety zone. I call it a safe space. And
yeah.
And I share. And no, we're talking the same thing. We're singing the same song. We're on the same music, and we're starting that same verse. I'm with you. What I wanted to say is that with the safe space, I've shared it here on the podcast before, where with my husband, how I created, you know, I just want to go on that real quick. And it was only three questions. We reserve all judgment, right? Between him and I, reserve all judgment, no repercussions, right? So in other words, what he says to me, I'm not going to take and throw it back in his face. And right. Then the other is, I say it's called unconditional love, but because that's kind of hard for us to visualize, I call it respect, right? It's called respecting each other with whatever it is that they say out of their mouth. Rather, we like it or not, or agree with it or not, it's mere respect. And so as you talked about that safety and it being a road, I just wanted to throw that in so that we can get a clear, you know, how does it go away? Well, when we're judging each other, right?
Yeah.
We're throwing stuff back in each other's face, and when we're disrespecting one another, that's how that safety zone or safe space get eroded.
I love that.
This is so juicy. It is so juicy.
If I can springboard off that, I feel like those might be, we could call those sort of colors that we want to paint with. I would offer also a canvas to paint on. And what I find is that in any relationship, there is logistics, there is some conflict, there is some business to tend to. That's just the nature of being in a relationship.
Yeah.
So if we only see each other for 1 hour a week, we're going to use that hour to talk about gripes, to talk about business.
Yeah.
So the canvas I always invite the couples I work with into is, just do nothing together. Do dumb things together. Go bowling, go shopping, have dinner, watch TV, parallel play on your phones together. But if the hours spent are 10 hours and we have 1 hour of business and logistics and gripes to deal with, it won't hurt as much. It won't be as scary. It won't feel as heavy because it's in this larger context of time spent together, connection that we have.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I love it. And one of the favorite things, I'm going to say this, and then we can begin to wrap up. But one of the favorite things that I, when I ask my husband, what do you want to do? And he says nothing. I'm like, because our nothing is really where we spend, you know, most of our time together. No, I don't want to do anything. I'll just sit here and look at you. Yeah. Or I look at you, right? So it's so, you know, when you said that, it made me think of that as well. All right. So what I would like to ask you about, what about that muscle? What about how do someone who's in the comfort zone and they find themselves, you know, stuck in the comfort zone and they're stepping out, but how do they build that muscle, right? How can they start building that muscle so that when they recognize the bars and they're mounting the bars, but then they see some more and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Share, please.
So I think that the key is small is feedback loops. Feedback loops. We have to feel like we are making progress. We have to feel like the things we're doing are having an effect, or we won't sustain them. So I always start off very slow with my clients, because often they come to me with a very big problem. We're this is urgent. We're in a crisis. We're in pain. We need to fix. And they get frustrated with how slowly I move in the beginning. But what I keep telling them is, if we want change that is sustainable change, then it has to be incremental change. But that has to be coupled with wins. It has to be coupled with feedback of wins. So small changes, big wins, this creates momentum. And that is how we begin to use that muscle so that, you know, it's like if you go to the gym and you start lifting heavy things, the next day you're going to be so sore, you'll never return to the gym. So you got to keep it on pace so that you feel like you're growing, but you don't, you're not hurting. It's not too much too fast.
Exactly. And I love the idea of wins. So what would, you know, for someone who is still, you know, intimidated by it or not sure, what would be a small win? Right. Because, you know, I share with people, celebrate the small things, celebrate the small wins. Doesn't, you know, have to be a huge win. So what are some of the small wins?
I'll give you an example. Yeah. In my very first session with a new couple clients, I give them a tool for checking in with one another. Very structured, very intentional tool for checking in with one another. And we begin to teach, actually, right at the first session, some of the things that you just talked about receiving people where they're at, not holding things they say against them, you know, neutral observer sort of thing. Anyhow, after that, I check in. They come back 7 days later. We have our next session. And the first thing they say to me is, we haven't talked this much in forever. Like, just the checking in is already a change from the week before we began. And so I get right away in that first week this win of, we're tentative, we're still scared, we don't talk about the big things, the problems between us still exist, but we're actually like checking in with each other and seeing how one another is doing. And there's already this forward movement that begins right out of the gate.
Wow. Wow. And I would say, you know, from that, like, go get some ice cream together or go take a walk together or, you know, and that. Well, on top of that, like you said, that small little win.
The nothing time.
Something simple.
Yeah.
You have been amazing. Thank you. But before we go, before I let you go, please share, what is one simple action that our listeners, if it's one person out there that can hear you today, how can they start stretching themselves and living outside?
Great question. So you may have caught earlier when I said that empathy was the second most powerful transformative force in the universe. My one suggestion, if anybody is listening, the one thing I always like to leave with is that the most powerful force for transformation in the universe is hope. And so what I would leave people with is, if you're scared, if you're stuck, if you don't know what to do, the most bold and courageous decision you can do to get that muscle moving is to choose hope.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. So please, I know because of this phenomenal topic and how you're such a wonderful guest and very, very informative, how can our listeners connect with you? Please.
Yeah. So my business is called Connect Fully. Like, that's what I want you to do. Connect fully. And we live in a world where things can be spelled however you want to. So it's spelled with a K. KONNECTFULLY.com. You can also just email me, Todd, T-O-D-D, at connectfully.com. I love to hear people's stories. I am always learning and growing. One of the first things I discovered in my own personality type is that I think I know everything. So it's a part of my constant growth journey to hear from other people, learn from their stories. I would love to hear from your listeners and find out things that are working or not working for them.
Awesome. So there you have it, Todd Payne. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's such a pleasure to meet you. And thank you for saying yes for the very first time, right, on the podcast. I would love to have you back. Thank you.
Wonderful.
For being
It's been a real joy.
And sharing thank your you. Story. Most of all, thank you for being you. Thank you for being you. Your story, I know, is going to, and is already, helping so many people. But I know it will help those who are listening to this episode today. And so with that, and because of that, I am so grateful and I'm humbled. So thank you again and again and again.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real joy.
You're welcome. Okay, you guys, let's take a short break. We'll be right back so I can close out this conversation on, is your comfort zone holding you back? How to get out of your comfort zone. So I'll be right back. So I'm back, everyone. I'm back. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Big thanks and a big shout out to Todd Payne. I really appreciate it. We really appreciate all of the wisdom that he dropped. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I want to give some actual steps, right? How to step out of your comfort zone authentically. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about how to break free of your comfort zone. Todd gave us some good examples to visualize bars, and he just really helped us to see what it is that we can do to help us step out of our comfort zone, right? To really put ourselves out there. And so what I really want us to do is talk about how to break out of your comfort zone without pretending to be someone you're not, without having to dumb down or just go with the flow. That's what I want to talk about. And I want to give some real doable steps, right? And what I mean by that, some literally steps, step one, step two, step three, because some of us need it, right? Some of us are at that point where we literally have to take it one step at a time and do it one moment at a time. So we want to meet you where you are and not drag you, or like I said before, or push you along. So here are some real doable steps. Step one, okay. We're going to start small. Start small. In other words, take a baby step and build yourself up to breaking out of your comfort zone. Take a micro risk. Take on something or things that have small risk attached. Here's something. Speak up in a meeting. It does not have to be anything elaborate or rehearsed. For example, ask for clarity on a topic, or ask them to repeat what they said, just instead of just being quiet and not saying anything. Speak up in a meeting. Say no to something you usually say yes to. That's a small step. Try a new hobby or join a class you've been curious about. Every baby step builds your courage muscle. Every baby step. All right. A real step number two. Name your fear out loud. Whatever it is that you're afraid of, name it out loud. Identify what it is. What are you afraid of? Identify it. Identify your fear or fears. Write them down, say them out loud. Journaling even helps. But so does talking to someone that you trust. Find someone that you trust that you want to have a conversation with, and share with them your fear out loud. Naming the fear and speaking it out loud often takes away its power. Has no power when you speak it out loud. Okay, the third real step or doable step that I would like you to try is something that similar to what Ty said. He said, visualize, see your bars. Well, I want you to visualize the result or results. Ask yourself, what is the best that could happen if I step out of my comfort zone? What is the best? What's the worst that could happen? And could I survive that? More often than not, you realize the risk is worth the reward. When you do things that will challenge you, look for the results. Look for the results. Visualize the results. Okay. The fourth doable real step that you can do is create accountability. Have the friend you shared your fears with, have that person check in with you. It can be weekly. It can be every other week. And if it's a daily thing, ask them to check in with you. By doing this, they will be holding you accountable to your greatness. And accountability, it fuels action. It fuels action. And action, because I said put an S on it before. Okay, a doable step. This one I love as much as all of them, but it's number five, is celebrate tiny wins. Celebrate tiny wins. Don't wait for a major breakthrough. Don't wait for something huge, right, to happen before celebrating or patting yourself on the back. The small wins are worth every bit of celebrating, every bit of it. It's what really matters. Be sure to say it out loud. I'm proud of myself because I stepped outside my comfort zone. I'm proud of myself because I spoke up. I said something in the meeting today. Small wins, celebrate them. And here's what I want you to do. Remember why this topic is important. And remember why it matters. Because your future is so much bigger than all of your fear. Because your life is not meant to be lived in neutral or just going with the flow. Because you are you unapologetically, which means trusting that even your bold, messy, imperfect efforts are well worth it. It's worth it. There's a life outside your comfort zone waiting, just waiting on you. And you deserve to experience all of it. Every last ounce of it. All of it. Yes, all of it. So here's what I'm challenging you to do today. Today, just pick one thing. Pick one thing that you've been afraid to try, whether it's big or small. Just pick one thing and commit to doing it this week. Don't wait till Monday. Don't wait till Saturday. Do it this week. Start today. Mark something on your calendar right now so you don't forget. Maybe it's applying for a job that you talked yourself out of, sending a message, or joining a group, going to the gym, saying what you really feel. Whatever your edge is, go to it. Don't leap over it. Just take a step. Just take a step. Then say this to yourself. I am proud of me. I am brave enough to grow. I am proud of me. I am brave enough to grow. Because stepping out of your comfort zone requires growth. It is growth. It requires change and it's growth. Here's what I know. I know this. I know your comfort zone is safe, but it's also limiting. I know fear is natural, but it doesn't have to be the driver of your life. I know growth happens outside of Predictability. Yep. And I know you don't have to change overnight, but start with one choice, one action, and be sure to be stretched. Or can we call it change? You are you unapologetically means you trust your evolution. You trust who you are, not just trust your safety. That's what you are you unapologetically means. So with society's rigid expectations and endless opinions, self-expression, self-awareness, self-appreciation, you know, all of that can feel challenging and daunting. And most of the time, we do exactly that, push things down, push it away, hide, run, or just go with the flow. We keep silent, not say anything. You are you unapologetically means being true to how you were created and not allowing people's opinions to affect how you show up in life. People are going to talk, and they're going to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. You hear me say this at the end of every episode. You have no time. No time to be intimidated by the presence of others and think so little of yourself. When you show up and you are you without pretense and hesitation, the world can't dull your glamour. They can't. Trust me, I'm telling you, they can't dull your glamour. And most importantly, you will be inspired to shine your light, to share, to support, to serve others, and help others to tap into their own brilliance. So how about we agree, just like we do at the end of every episode, let's agree to put an end to disparaging mindset and begin to own your authentic self. Hey, I'm here. Join me. I create this safe space where I initiate influential conversations about what? About you being you. That's it. Because you are you unapologetically, and no one, absolutely no one, is better at being you than you. No one. So let me just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because that's all I have for today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being you. Are you, right? Thank you so much. And if what was shared on this episode, if it challenges you, if it inspires you, if it touched you, please share it with someone who you know may need a gentle push, pushed outside of their own comfort zone. We're going to push them in love, right? Remember, you don't have to be perfect. You do not have to be perfect. Because I'm not perfect. I get it wrong. I say it wrong. I may even do it wrong. I make mistakes. And failure is a part of growing. Yes, it is. So it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay. You don't have to figure it all out. And if you're trying to stop, you just have to be willing to try, willing to grow, willing to show up for the next version of yourself and show up for the next episode. Failing does not mean you are a failure. It doesn't. It says you have courage because you tried. That's what it means. So until next time, let's keep being you unapologetically. Ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode. May this transformational discussion shift your mindset so you can live in possibility, so you can step higher in your greatness and stand bolder in your brilliance. Do not wait another minute. Start now to uncover your greatness and begin to fall madly, madly, did I say madly, in love with you. The journey to unleashing and owning your true self doesn't end here. Be sure to subscribe to the show at KimRGrimes.com. Leave a rating. and gear up for more conversations like this one. See you on the next episode. And remember, you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically.